Last Word on Today FM.
So let's hear a little bit of Donald Trump's plans for Greenland.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. You look at, you don't even need binoculars. You look outside, you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen. We're not letting it happen.
Marion McCown, that sounds like a declaration of economic war against Denmark, because what we didn't hear in the clip as well is that he's threatening very, very high tariffs against Denmark if it doesn't surrender Greenland to him.
Yeah, you know, and of course we have the stunt of his son, Donald Trump Jr., going off to Greenland for a day trip to make some fact-finding, content-generating God knows what for his various podcasts. This is absurd. You know, I mean, this is, but I, in the same press conference, which is, you know, going on, he also spoke about Canada, about basically merging Canada and the United States, saying what a great country that would be. And, you know, we're not going to keep paying for Canada. $200 billion a year was a figure he picked for Canadian security, and said, and, you know, they've told us they can't survive without us. So it's almost like that he's now off on this sort of, you know, fantasy sort of world of adventurism, where he's looking around the world and saying, oh, I might take a bit of that and I might take a bit of that. And that, you know, he's gone from his whole America, Make America Great, was so insular and so inward looking. And it's like, we protect America and we don't let anybody in, and et cetera. And now he seems to be taking a kind of an expansive approach, for want of a better word, but it's ludicrous. You know, America is not going to annex Canada and it's not going to annex Greenland. You know, I know that the Greenland Prime Minister, I think, is using it to raise some heat about Denmark and the colonial aspect of Greenland still being part of Denmark, but this is Trump. I think he's trying to generate headlines. I think he likes to have a new, you know, somebody's been in his ear, possibly Elon Musk, and I think he just likes to have a new controversy to talk about.
Okay, Cal, what do you make of this? A land grab by Donald Trump to get Greenland.
Well, my favorite moment in the news conference, which was more like a stream of consciousness thing before we ever got to any questions from the press, was his announcement that he was going to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. This is almost like renaming the Irish Sea to the Gulf of England or something. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, he says that Greenland is necessary for our national security. He says China's got ships all over the place. Well, what is he going to do with the Chinese ships if we buy Greenland? Is he going to sink them? Is he going to repel them? Is he going to start a war with China? What does that mean? I'd like to hear details. I think Marion's right. He's just trying to generate headlines here. But that's just,
hold on. Isn't he also in danger, though, of making himself look foolish, that if he starts promising things that he wants and is then unable to deliver them?
Breaking news, Matt. We've talked about how foolish he looks on several other subjects on many other shows over the last, 8 years, I guess. So, yeah, I think most people just forget about this stuff. What they're looking forward now, and what he was talking about at his news conference, was the economic future of this country, the closing of the border, the deporting of criminal aliens. And these are the things that caused voters to reelect him and a Republican Congress. So I think the future is what people are looking forward to. And most people are going to just dismiss this, as Marion says, as pure fantasy.
Let's hear a little bit more of what he had to say in this press conference.
And we are not treated well, as you know, by Canada. Canada is subsidized to the tune of about $200 billion a year, plus other things. And they don't essentially have a military. They have a very small military. They rely on our military. It's all fine, but, you know, they got to pay for that. Mexico's really in trouble, a lot of trouble. Very dangerous place. And we're going to be announcing at a future date pretty soon. We're going to change, because we do most of the work there, and it's ours. We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And, you know, you can talk about windmills. They litter our country. They're littered all over our country. They're 25 stories tall, 40 stories. They have one 70 stories tall. The blades, they take 3 ships to ship them. It's crazy. They're dangerous. You see what's happening up in the Massachusetts area with the whales, where they had 2 whales wash ashore in, I think, a 17-year period. And now they had 14 this season. The windmills are driving the whales crazy, obviously.
Carl, you were worried about Joe Biden's mental faculties. What about this guy?
Well, Matt, I think voters made their judgment on that, and we're going to see what happens. So we're going to see
You can't be that blasé about it. This guy is going to be president for the next 4 years. Well, yeah. He's supposed to be president for the next 4 years, yeah.
Well, I'm not blasé about it, Matt. I'm just saying that most people have made their judgment about Donald Trump. They have taken into consideration his behavior toward women, his language, his over-the-top fantastical comments about buying Greenland and changing the Gulf of Mexico name and all of these other things. And what they're interested in primarily, as the election results have shown, is the economy and a secure border. And on those 2 things, the polls show that over 70% of Americans favor the direction in which he wants to take the country.
Will that survive, do you think, Marion, when people hear more of that type of nonsense?
Well, you know, I think to get back to, in a way, we're doing exactly what Donald Trump wants us to do. If you go through the entire press conference, he could not answer a single question he was asked about what he campaigned on. He couldn't answer any questions on Ukraine. He couldn't even talk about Syria in any coherent way. He couldn't talk about tariffs. He couldn't talk about the border. He did not have a single good answer for all the things that Cal correctly said. People voted for him for a secure border and because they believe he could bring a stronger economy. He had no answers. And this is why he's meandering on, talking about changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico, talking about annexing Canada, talking about buying Greenland, because it's distracting people from the fact that he clearly is at sea when he has to talk about the things that he campaigned on in any meaningful way. So, I think we're going to see a lot more. There's a lot more of new, bright, shiny objects being thrown in the direction of the media to distract them from his ongoing failings, because what he has promised to do is going to be extremely difficult to achieve. He's not going to be able to bring prices down. He's not going to be able to deport 11 million people or anything close to that. And his tariffs are just a recipe for disaster. And he has no plan for Ukraine. He has no plan for the Middle East. So we'll just see. I guess we will have to see, because he will be becoming president in 10 days, how this will all play out.
Okay, well, there's so many other things. One of the things that he may do, Cal, is that he may pardon all of those involved in the insurrection of January 6th, 2021. Now, as a conservative, Cal, and I deliberately ask you as a conservative rather than as a Republican, because I'm not attributing a political party membership to you, but you have said on many occasions you are a conservative, and I would understand conservatism to believe in the rule of law. How do you feel about that? The fact that those who have been properly convicted of being involved in that insurrection and those who are facing charges are going to be pardoned for political reasons?
Well, we'll see, Matt. The U.S. Capitol Police Chief has opposed pardons for the people who assaulted the police, and I'm with him on that. I think if you attack a police officer and if you are engaged in violent behavior, then you should suffer the consequences of breaking the law. But there are a lot of people in there, in the Capitol on that day, 4 years ago, on January 6th, who were not involved in any violence, who were not yelling for the hanging of Vice President Mike Pence, who were not invading then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office and causing damage. And Trump says he's going to look at some of those cases and see if any of them deserve pardons. Now, we've seen what Joe Biden has done with pardons. My goodness, not only his own son, but all of these federal inmates, these death row inmates who are not pardoned but had their sentences commuted. And there are a lot of people who think in the next 2 weeks they're going to be preemptive pardons for people that the Biden administration thinks that Trump may come out for. But I think when you're dealing with police officers, always assaulting a police officer is wrong, and I would oppose any pardon for somebody convicted of that.
But Kyle, you seem to be implying there that there are people who have been properly convicted that you're doubting those convictions, even though the courts heard the evidence before the people, that they were just merely observers rather than active participants in the attempted insurrection.
Well, as you know, Matt, because you're a student of American government, the president's pardon power is absolute. He, or maybe she someday, does not have to justify it. It is absolute in the Constitution. And so people may be for or against it, but if Trump wants to pardon these people, he can do it. And if he is to pay a price, it'll be at the polls in 2 years when all the House of Representatives are up for re-election, as are a number of senators.
Well, that's not quite what I asked you, but I'm going to go to Marion in relation to that, because, you know, that would appear that Trump is going to gaslight us and tell us that those who were involved in attacking Capitol Hill were only peace-loving people who were singing songs in support of him.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is what we've been hearing. And it's astonishing. It really shows that people will believe what they want to believe. When you look at the volume of evidence, of video evidence, of audio evidence, of testimony that came out of the January 6th committee inquiries, all of the stuff we saw on TV playing out live, and people are claiming, people like Tucker Carlson, people like Trump, people like all of Trump's inner circle, that January 6th was this day of love, that it was just supporters who went to the Capitol to protest what they felt was a stolen election, that they did it peacefully. They're still saying that any of those agitators were probably Antifa or FBI plants. It's nonsense and it's lies. We all saw what happened. About 600 of the people who are in prison were charged with assaulting police officers. There are another about 300 to 500 cases that may now never even get to trial. Hundreds of those are also involved in the assault or obstruction of police officers. And now we have Enrique Torres, the Proud Boy leader, who was sentenced to 22 years in prison for his plotting ahead of January 6th for stuff that would happen on the day. It wasn't some spontaneous combustion of outrage, as you know, Trump and his cronies are claiming. His lawyers are now saying that he also needs to be pardoned, and that he, you know, he's a good conservative American and that's all he's guilty of. It's absolutely ludicrous. But I think, you know, Trump may pay for it at the polls. I don't think he will. I think he believes he's president now. He's going to do one term and that he can do whatever he wants. So let's see what happens.
That said, Cal, it's not going to allow him to stop sentencing in his hush money case this Friday, is it?
No, it's not. But as we talked about before on this program, Matt, I think that so much of this was political. You had Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, who ran on a platform to get Trump. That's a direct quote. You had Manhattan prosecutor Alvin Bragg, who elevated what under normal conditions would have been a misdemeanor, probably resulting in a fine of some sort and no other severe penalties. Elevating it to a felony. And then you have the judge, who is a Democrat and whose daughter is a Democrat activist. And that just conveys the notion to an awful lot of Americans that there is an unequal justice system here in America. So it's not going to be jail time. The judge has already announced that. And I don't know how he would enforce it if he did, with Trump about to become president. But it'll probably be some kind of fine. I can't imagine it'd be community service. That would be fun to see. But I think it's just basically a political act.
After 6 o'clock, Marion, we're going to be doing a separate item on the changes at Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, which would seem to be very much be influenced by his desire to kiss Trump's ass. But what about what's going on with other tech bros? We know about Elon Musk, but what about Jeff Bezos? I see Amazon are now making a documentary on Melania Trump. I'd say that'll be hard hitting. And also the Washington Post, which he owns, is blocking cartoons which satirize Bezos and the tech bros.
Yeah, you know, this it's astonishing the speed with which they have all come to heel. And you correctly said about you know, Dana White, Trump's big UFC buddy, is now on the board of Meta. There's been a number, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg stood in Mar-a-Lago with his hand on his chest, on his heart, while they played the national anthem by the January 6th choir. That is the criminals who are in prison, who made a recording of the you know, one of the great American, the national anthem. And now it's being, you know, so he was standing there with his hand on his heart for that. He is pandering to Trump, and Bezos is doing the same, and so are the other big tech bros, because they want less regulation, they want more money. This documentary about Melania Trump is just one example. It's being directed or produced by Brett Ratner, who was outed and disgraced during the Me Too era, and who can't get a meeting in Hollywood at the moment, so that's going to boost his career but I think also with Bezos, he's donating money to the inauguration, $1 million to the inauguration fund, $1 million in kind. But the most sinister aspect is that Ann Telness, a Pulitzer Prize winning cartoonist who's been working at the Washington Post since 2008, who does very scathing, hard hitting, very funny cartoons. A cartoon she had done was spiked. It was a cartoon of you saw the bottom half of Trump and all these little minions, including Bezos, including the owner of the Los Angeles Times, and including a couple of other tech execs who are supplicating before Trump and holding up bags with dollar signs on them. It's a funny, sharp cartoon. There's also a Mickey Mouse who's just like prostrate before him, which is a nod to Disney settling that case, the defamation case, totally unwarrantedly for $15 million. And this cartoon was pulled. It was spiked. And the reason for it being spiked was so pathetic. It was the editorial editor said, oh, we ran a column on the same subject previously, and we also have commissioned a satirical column. A cartoon is not a column, you know, so it's absolutely absurd. She resigned, and the Washington Post, they've lost over 300,000 readers now, subscribers, I should say. The paper's in turmoil. A bunch of senior staff have left in the last couple of weeks, and, you know, and you have this guy, this Murdoch guy now, who's the publisher and CEO. It's a really grim time for what was once a great newspaper.
And meanwhile as well, Cal Thomas, just to finish off, winter storms hitting the US, 60 million people under weather warnings.
Global warming raises its head again, Matt. Yes, well, you know, Washington has always had snow jobs, mostly from the politicians, but we've had thousands of flights canceled, people disrupted in their post-holiday travel. We'll get over it. We had before.
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you very much.
The Last Word on Today FM.